with me, but she came running to me, and that made me feel so good. I just wanted to just love on her. You know, if we will just run to God, he just wants to love on us. Did you know that? He wants to bless us. Amen. Well, today is our last week on the topic of the power in praise. And we did worship in our first week. We did thankfulness. We did last week how faith is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. And this week we're going to do faith in action. How praise is really faith in action. And the scripture that I chose for that is 1 Peter 1:7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says, might be found unto the praise. Our actual suffering, it says, can be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What you're going through is actually a form of praise. When you endure hardship, when you're under pressure, that is actually a praise to God, because it's praising him in your lifestyle. Amen. So we're going to look at how a praise is actually an action of faith. Because you may not feel like coming to church this morning. As I said, Sunday morning, the bed feels the best. It feels the sweetest. It just doesn't feel like, you know, you want to get out of that bed. And that doesn't just mean you. It means me too. And when I open my eye and I see the clock and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, is that really the time? Where did it go? But you know what? When we take a step of faith and come to church, that's praise. When we lift our hands, when we're not feeling the best, that's praise. And I'm going to show you in this lesson how doing it like that, when you utter words and when you declare, it actually can change you, change your attitude. So Peter said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You know, people think that, or some people teach a prosperity and gospel that, you know, you come to church, you start serving God, and you get rich, and everything's okay. I don't know where they find that, because that's not what this scripture says. The trial of your faith, the test of your faith. Faith is going to be proved in testing, being much more precious than that of gold. Before God uses anyone, he qualifies them. Did you know that? He qualifies them. He's got to find out whether you mean this thing or not, whether you have a made-up mind, whether you are serving him for the right reasons. Is it because of blessing that you're serving him? Is it because things are going good that you're serving him? So there are going to be trials, because Jesus said, if they've done this to me, they're going to do it to you. Right? The servant is not greater than the master. So how do we show faith? Well, one of the ways we can show faith is in praise, is in worship, is in actually taking the actions against what our flesh is feeling. Amen. James 2:14, and it really goes along with what Sister Regina said. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Right? And have not works. Can faith save him? Well, faith can only save if it leads to an action, a change, a manifestation. If it's just in your head, how is that going to work? So faith has to be proven or manifested to be effective. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding he give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What he's saying is, if you have the ability to help and you don't, you're not putting your faith into action. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Amen. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen. When we actually take an action, that is proving our belief. Abraham proved his belief when God in God's righteousness and his justice, and God being right, when God told him, hey, Abraham, take your only son whom you love, take him up to the mountain, and I want you to offer him there for me. It took great faith to do that, to believe that God really wanted this done. And so God will sometimes say things, hard sayings, to test our faith, to prove if we really, really mean. Our faith is not tested in the good times. It's easy to serve God when everything is good, when the job is doing fine, when the bills are paid. When it's hard is when you're under pressure, when you're stressed, when you don't know where the next bill, how it's going to happen. That's when our faith is tested. And the Bible looks at that as a praise. That's a worship in your actions. Amen. Praise and worship is a form of faith in action. It's a form of faith in action. Because maybe you came here today and you had all kinds of burdens and tribulations. But if you will just start to go against your flesh and give God true worship and true praise, God will come looking for you. You'll leave here different than the way you came. Your atmosphere will change. Amen. That's what we've been saying, that there is a power in praising God and in worship. Let's look at this. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." It's a sacrifice. You may be in a terrible mood. You may have come here feeling all grumpy and or maybe concerned or worried or not knowing how things are going to work. That's when it's a sacrifice. Even when I don't feel like it, I am going to get up and I'm going to lift my hands. I feel like sitting down and just, you know, folding my arms and not doing anything, but I am going to make a sacrifice. That's when it becomes a sacrifice. It says, continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We may say, well, what do I have to give thanks for? You have a lot to give thanks for. You may not realize it. You know, as I grow older now, when I cross that 60 line, every morning I get up, I give thanks. I mean, you do have people now passing away. You know, I hear of people less younger than me now passing away. They just died, just had a... So, you know, I'm looking at 70 or 80 years, if by reason of strength. So every day I get up now, that's another day. If for no other reason I get to get up to see my family, to thank God. So we do have something to give God thanks for. It says it's sometimes you don't feel like it. That's when you give a sacrifice of praise. That's what honors God in your situation. That attracts God's presence. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips. Paul said, in every situation I've learned. It's a learned response. After you find God has delivered you out of the low points, you learn, okay, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. This situation, this trial, this is not going to last forever. As the song says, trouble don't last forever. Amen. This too will pass. It's a trial of your faith, which is like fine gold. It says we have to do that continually. You know, the thing about Daniel was, his wasn't a serve God when it was convenient, serve God when he was in trouble. When he was thrown in the lion's den, the king said, "Oh, Daniel, is the God whom thou servest continually." So he served him when it was good. He served him when it wasn't so pleasant. He served him when he was down. He served him when he was up. The king was able to say, "Oh, Daniel, is the God that thou servest continually able to deliver you from the lion's den?" Daniel was able to shout out, "The God whom I serve has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion." I'm telling you, God has sent his angel. I haven't seen him, but he sent his angel to me many times and shut the mouth of the lion. I've been in the lion's den and I've seen them, but they haven't come near me. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You shall see it come, but it shall not come near you. Amen. When you are in a continual praise, when you are thankful and grateful, that is an act of faith. Because it's something that, again, we can give, that you may say, "Well, I don't have money." But you can always give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Jesus always blessed everything before he ate it. He gave thanks. I want to show you some things in this lesson about putting praise as an act of faith. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, See, people wouldn't understand someone going through trial thanking God. That is opposite to the way logic should work. That's why it says a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I tell you, when you are going through trials, that's when you should take out your praise. That's when you should worship the hardest. And you may say, well, I'm faking it. Well, you are actually acting in faith. That's all you're doing. It's not faking it. It is believing that God is going to change the atmosphere. That's why the 1 Peter says you are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you. People don't understand, how can you worship a God you can't see? And he doesn't seem to be. I tell you, you may not see him, but I have felt him. I have known his benefits. I have seen his actions in my life. I've experienced his mercy. I have been touched by his grace. Hallelujah. Let's look at some praise in action that you may not have realized. I want you to call your attention to the story of Jonah. And you may not think that there's a praise in the story of Jonah, but let's look at this. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. You know the story. Jonah did not want to obey God and go to this horrible nation, the Assyrians, to Nineveh, and to preach to them. They were Israel's greatest enemy. They had done terrible things to the nation of Israel. They had pillaged, they had been cruel. And so when God told him, go and preach to them, that didn't make any sense. That he tried to escape God's command. But you know this story very well, that when he took the ship to try and escape, to go to the furthest part he could, God sent a storm, and the storm was so unnatural that the sailors realized this was an unnatural storm. This must be something to do with the supernatural. And they started to inquire. And of course, Jonah knew right away why this had happened. I tell you, you know, when you run away from God and things happen, you know right away why it's happening. You know exactly why it's happening. You know, if you've ever been touched by God and you run away and stuff starts to happen, in your heart, you know what's going on. You know what's going on. You have a choice now. So Jonah said, you know what? This is my fault. I caused all of this. You better just throw me overboard. And when they did, the storm stopped. And you know the story how God sent a great fish and swallowed him. Jonah 2:7-10. When he was in the fish and looking, well, I actually believe he did die, but let's go. Looking to die. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. This is what Jonah is doing. He's actually giving a prayer of praise when he's in the fish's belly. He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Think about that. He's been eaten by a fish. He's looking to die. He didn't know what was going to happen. And look what, he is giving thanks in the belly of the fish. That is faith. Let me say that again. You didn't realize that Jonah gave a praise. Not when he had been spewed up on the land, but when he was inside the fish going through looking at death is when he said, listen, but I will sacrifice. That means he didn't feel like it. He was near death. He was about to be digested in this fish. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanks. What is there to thank God for when you're going through trials? When you're hurting, when you feel desperate, when it seems that God's a million miles away. To Jonah, he knew or felt that he was going to be judged and this was the end of it. But even though he was facing death, he said, you know what? I don't feel like it, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. And it may have been that prayer at that point, that faith praise in action, that saved his life. It was when he was in the fish that he gave a praise. He said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Does that make any sense? Are any of you in the belly of the fish right now? Try doing what Jonah did. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. I'm in the belly of this fish. You are just. You are right. I deserve to be where I am because I disobeyed you. You told me what to do. You told me what to do. But Lord, nevertheless, I'm going to sacrifice. He probably couldn't raise his hand, but he said, I will open my voice. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. There is something about being audible. You can keep something in your mind, but there's something about actually opening your mouth and speaking the words. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, as soon as he did this, look what happens next. The Lord spoke to the fish. The Lord had not spoken to the fish other than to swallow him. It was after he gave a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the fish. Isn't that awesome? This is praise in action. When he was in his worst moment, after he's looking at death, after he gave a sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, it doesn't feel like you can give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You may not have a job. You're facing all these bills. You may be sick. You may be in pain. You know where you are? You're in the fish's belly. That's where you are. Can you say like Jonah? But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanks. Lord, I thank you. I don't understand what's going on, but I thank you. Salvation is of the Lord. As soon as he did that, the scripture says, so the Lord spoke to the fish. And it vomited him, Jonah, onto dry land. So instead of murmuring and complaining about his situation, Jonah does the right thing. He turns his attention towards God through prayer and praise. We could complain and say, Lord, this is terrible. Why you let this happen to me? Instead, he says, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to thank you. I think that that has such an effect on not only your atmosphere, but on God's attention. He changed his mind. And then the Lord spoke to the fish. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I just want to say it's so amazing that how God does things. And I'm saying in my own life because I pay close attention to it. And right now at the daycare, I'm having all kinds of ups and downs and ins and outs. But it's so amazing that how God can deal with you with a situation. And he's been dealing with me with the situation because I've never had a state person like this one that we have right now. I've been doing daycare 28 years, but this one who we have right now is of the devil, but I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But he has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and it's amazing that how he is so arrogant until he tells you that. He don't care about how he talks. He just says things any kind of way he wants to, and it's very disturbing. And I know God brought this man in my life for a reason to work with me, because I can't stand the thought of even hearing him talk. It does something to me, but God is humbling me. And he's been there now about 7 or 8 times, because every time there's a problem, he's coming. He just came the other day because we had another flood in the building. And when he came, you can just see him, the devil sitting on his shoulder. When he opened the door, he was just ready to go at it with a pen and paper. He don't care to speak to you or nothing. And I'm just amazed at how this man really acts. And God spoke to me. And the Lord said, I've come to deal with you.
Amen.
And I said, okay, Lord. But in the Lord speaking to me, I was able to speak to God and say, yes, Lord, I know you come to deal with me. But after you get through dealing with me, you're going to deal with him. And he heard me saying the name Jesus. He must have just heard me saying it while he was talking, because I was just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And finally, this man opened his mouth and he said, Jesus. And I was amazed just to even hear him say Jesus. So it changed my whole attitude toward him the other day. And me and him actually had a conversation.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what, praise is faith in action. There's probably none of you here that are not going through some things. But if Jonah in the belly of the whale can say, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, That is such a great, can you think about that? He's facing death. He's in the whale. He knew he was disobedient to God. And at that point, he's saying, I'm going to give you a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. This is what changes God's mind. Because it said, the Lord then spoke. So the Lord spoke to the fish. You want the Lord to speak to your fish? To put you back on dry ground? Give a praise. Start giving thanksgiving in your situation. Now you all know this other one. But I'll try and bring it to you. This is Paul and Silas in Acts 16:22. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they whipped them and beat them up, left them bloody and ragged. Think about this. Charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received them, received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison, meaning they put them in the deepest, darkest, dirtiest, stink, vermin-infested, feces part of the prison, dripping, wet, in pain, blood running, flesh torn off, and then put them in stocks. Now can you praise God? Now can you show some faith? You know, probably most of us would start saying, well, God, you've abandoned me. This wasn't the plan. Didn't you tell me to come here? Didn't you tell me to come to this town and witness? And look what's happened. This can't be right. But at midnight, let's say at midnight, at the darkest part of the night, when they're suffering, they're in pain, there's probably no place for them to move. They can't move. They're in stocks. What do they do? This is faith in action. This is what I'm challenging you to do when you're going through it right now. Paul and Silas, at the darkest part of the night, prayed and sang praises unto God. They weren't quiet about it. They didn't sing to themselves. The prisoners heard. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. I challenge you to let God show up in your life. No matter what you're going through right now, it could be the darkest part. This is when you start to change the atmosphere with your prayer. That is faith in action. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. See, their praise in action not only freed them, it freed everybody around them. Isn't that amazing? Their praise in action didn't just free them. It freed the whole prison. Sister Fallon.
I have a testimony I wanted to share today. Back in 2012, I was admitted to Frederick Hospital into the emergency room. Before I got into the emergency room, the police took me out of the paddy wagon. They said I was acting abnormal in the streets, which I was. They took me through the back way. They didn't take me through the front. But it was something going on in the atmosphere. And the police threw me on the ground before they even took me in, and they were trying to pull their batons out, but they couldn't. They couldn't get them out. And this is real life. This isn't a dream. And I kept looking at the sun. I kept looking up, and I could see the sun, the skies opening up. It was just a bright day, and they couldn't beat me. And I got a scar cut on my hand. And today, the stitches taken out show a smiley face. There's two dots in a line. So it looks like a smiley face. So God will remind me every day of how he saved me from them beating me. So they took me into the emergency room. As soon as I got there, they tied me down to the bed. I wasn't combative or anything, but they tied me down to the bed. I couldn't get it loose. One of the nurses came in. She put a loose IV in my arm, and I had been watching a lot of scientific shows, and so I knew that a loose IV, I didn't need an IV. You know, I wasn't dehydrated. I looked for a bag. I didn't see one. I noticed there was a bubble. There was an air pocket in the IV. I said, if this air bubble gets in my vein, I could die. And so I said, what am I going to do? And so three men came into the emergency room. They had on all black suits, black hats, and black glasses. They didn't say anything. I didn't speak to them. They untied me and they left. I took the IV out of my arm, and all of a sudden God caused me to fall asleep. I fell asleep, and when I woke up, the nurse had come, And they didn't say anything abnormal. Where's your IV? Or are you feeling? They didn't ask me anything. And from that, I am a living witness of the power and the deliverance of God.
Amen. 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 Well, God preserved your life, amen, for a purpose. And that's why we should always be thankful. Amen. You know, we don't understand some of the situations we're going through. In this situation with Paul and Silas, it probably, to them, from a human standpoint, made no sense. Because here they were servants of the living God, doing what God had told them to do, and it seemed everything went worse. Well, the reason it went worse is because we're in a war. We're on enemy territory. Satan isn't just going to lie down. He is going to attack us in every way he can, with circumstances, with sickness, through other people. Amen. But do you understand that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises? This is what I'm saying, how praise can be faith in action. You may not be able to do anything else. You may be constricted. You may be in stocks and bonds. But as long as they haven't got your mouth taped, you can make a noise. Amen. You can make a noise. You can give praise and thanks to God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So as I was saying, not only did God loose their bands, but it freed everyone else in the prison through their praise and worship. Isn't that that's to show you how powerful praise and worship is. It didn't just release Paul and Silas. It released everyone in the prison. Amen. Let's look at another situation of where praise in action. And I've said this one before, and it's probably one of the greatest ones that I can think of. And it's King David. You know, he had sinned. He had done some terrible things. He had committed murder. And there was a child that was born, and the child was very sick. And the prophet had come to him and told him that the child was going to die. Nevertheless, David prayed in 2 Samuel 12:16. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And all the servants, the Bible says, were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not listen unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Now, most of us would quit church, curse God, and that would be the end of it. Look what you've done, God. But this is great faith in action. What did David do? You all know it because I've all told you. Bible said he got up. He got up and he went to the temple and he worshiped. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, put on the garments of praise, took off the garments of mourning, took off the garments of sadness. I'm sure in his flesh he was still very upset. Who could not be upset if your child died? That would not be easy. He changed his apparel. He had a made-up mind. The child is gone. I am still going to worship God. I am still going to go to church. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Amen. That's faith, praise in action, Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I don't know, but it's amazing that how you can remember, God will help you to remember where you came from before he lift you up. And so once he lift you up, then he'll see what you're going to do with whatever blessing he has given to you. Because when you realize when God blesses you, it's really only for the kingdom. Because what other reason would God be blessing you for material things? So I have to understand that the blessings that the Lord has given me is only for the kingdom, even though I've used them for other things more than God's kingdom. And God had a word that I had given to somebody that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And they says, no, the Lord don't takes away, but yet and still that's in God's word. So do we believe that the Lord take away or do we not believe the Lord take away? Well, I want to believe every word God says. And so when you look at the situation, then you is determined then what is God trying to do. So God instilled something in me the other day. He said, before you had all of these things, your spirit was high, you was running for the kingdom, you was preaching the gospel, you was doing everything that I had called you to do. Now you have these things, you've allowed them to become a burden to you, you're trying to do everything you can to keep them. And you know what God did to me? He gave me a releasing. He took me back to the point in my mind where when I didn't have nothing, when I was willing, I remembered the other day, when I was running for God so hard, I wanted to go live in the rescue mission just so I can preach, just so I can tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. And I said, Lord, whatever you have to do, I'm at that point because nothing can hold me down.
Amen.
Because my spirit is free in Christ. So whatever God need to do with me, that's what I'm asking God
Amen.
To do with me.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Paul, when he was in Rome, he said, I'm in bound, but the gospel is never bound. So God's gospel is never in chains. We may be limited in what we can do, but the gospel is never bound. Amen. Amen. And God works in circumstances sometimes, just like Jonah. God works in circumstances sometimes to put us in a place where our faith will be tested. And it's in those circumstances. Can you still raise your hand? Can you still do a yada praise? Can you still say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him? That's faith praise in action. I didn't put that one quite in here, but that's what Job said. Though he slay me. He was the one that said, the Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We like the Lord giveth and the Lord giveth. We don't want to hear the Lord giveth and the Lord take. God will take away if it's going to be detrimental to us. If you're a good parent and you see your kids, overusing the video game when they're not doing anything else, you know what you will do? You'll take it away for a time. That's what so God will if we are his children, we need to allow him to work through circumstances to wake us up and to show us. And he will do that. Amen. As I said, to me, this is one of the greatest faith in action. Even after his child died, even after things did not work out the way he wanted, he showed trust in God. He went to God's temple, took off his mourning garments, put on new garments, came to the temple and worshiped. That is faith in action. That is faith in action. See, you can do praise even in tribulation. Here's Job. We got into your friend here. You know, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil, tried to stay away from evil things. And you know the story. I jumped down to verse 18. It was the bad news day. Sometimes that turns into a week. Sometimes that turns into a month. Sometimes it seems to be several months of bad news. Just one thing after another. You know what? What you need to do is spiritually open your spiritual eyes and say, okay, I see what's happening here. I know what's happening here. This is just the devil. And I'm not going to let him win. So I just jumped down to verse 18 because you know the story. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another. So after the car tire went flat, then the engine went out. Then the gas company said, hey, we misbilled you. Here's the real bill. It's double what we told you before. Amen. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a great wind, a tornado. A natural disaster came and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You know, we're human. It's not wrong to go through suffering and feel pain. Job here arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground. He didn't stay down for sorrow. He went on the ground to worship. That is amazing. That is truly amazing. Think about what he's just gone through, and instead, he worships. That is praise, faith in action. Your children have just been killed by a natural disaster. Wasn't people. That proves it must be God. That shows such faith. Job went on to say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Everything I have belongs to God anyway. Naked I came, and once they bury me, if long enough, the clothes will dissolve. You didn't bring anything into this world. Did you? You weren't born with a full set of clothes and a wallet in your back pocket and a credit card. No. Everything you have has happened since you've been in this world. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed. He was giving a praise offering right there. Blessed. Remember, I said there were seven words for praise. This is Barak. The Barak praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. What happens to us when we get in tribulation? We start doubting. We forget that the enemy has done this. It's the enemy. Jesus in the parable in Matthew 13, he was telling the parable of the sower, and someone else came and sowed weeds. God didn't sow the weeds. God didn't bring you destruction. And it's the enemy has done this. The enemy has done this. Understand where this has come from. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He bowed down and he worshiped. Can you worship? Because if you can worship when you're going through it, that's faith in action, praise in action. And that attracts God like nothing else. That gets his attention like nothing else. That gets him focused upon you like nothing else. Because that's what he's looking for. He seeketh such. A true worshiper is one like Daniel who worships him continually. Oh, Daniel, live forever. Is the God whom you serve able to deliver you? He said, yes, the God who I serve continually. It wasn't when I'm in trouble, oh God, I need you now. He had a habit of worshiping every day, three times a day. So praise, when we go through these trials and tribulation, and we still praise God and we still thank you, Jesus. Don't understand it, but I thank you anyhow. What we're doing is we're declaring our faith. That's what praise is. We're making a declaration of faith because it makes no sense. And also, it attracts others. That's one of the benefits of praise as faith, is it when you put it into action, it's going to attract others. You saw how their worship of Paul and Silas not only freed them, but it freed every other prisoner who wasn't worshiping in the whole jail. Now let me show you how your praise and worship is a declaration of faith and attracts others. On the day of Pentecost, they started worshiping and praising God. And it was noised abroad. There's people, when they hear this church praising, who have come in off the streets just because they've heard our worship. Acts 2:7. When they started worshiping and praising, the people outside started to hear, and it attracted them. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in then parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them. People will hear you praise. He heard you saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And because he heard you, he said, Jesus. When you start praising God, don't make it private necessarily. It's okay to pray in public. It's okay to pray, praise God through your lifestyle. When people see how you handle trouble and tribulation, that's praise. You may not say praise the Lord, but the way you handle adversity, when they see how you react, that's a praise. That's a praise. And that will be attractive to people. Amen? That will attract people. They heard them praise and said, we do hear them speak in our tongues. What? The wonderful works of God. That means they were praising God. Lord, you are awesome. We thank you for the works you have done in our lives. We thank you for all the situations. We thank you because we know that you're working in our lives. The Bible says they heard them. So praise, which is faith in action, has a power to attract and bring attention to God's glory through your lifestyle. If you are in a lifestyle of praise where you are continually giving God thanks. You know what I'm going to say when people ask me how I'm doing, don't you? Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. And I, nearly always when people hear me say that for the first time, it starts a conversation. I'm able to witness to them. I'm able to say, you know why I say that? They say, what do you mean? I say, well, I don't deserve the blessings I'm getting. Now, I might be in a bad shape, but I'm still going to tell them, I'm going to declare I'm still getting blessed. I am blessed and highly favored. Amen. I am blessed and highly favored. Even if I didn't have a penny, because I know who I believe in and I know he loves me, I am still blessed and highly favored. Amen. I might not have but one pair of shoes, but I am blessed and highly favored. I'm going to use that fourth word, the Barak praise. I am blessed and highly favored. I'm going to declare that and thank God for his goodness and his love and his grace. I might be having some relationship problems, but I am still blessed and highly favored. I might be having some health problems, but I am blessed and highly favored. See, faith declares and praise declares and attracts people. I don't want to really be around people who are always grumpy, always complaining, always murmuring. Amen? You know, the kind of people who they walked uphill to school both ways. Amen? Come on, let's give God a sacrifice of praise. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I'm sorry, keep coming up here. Thank you, Lord. I was just wanted to say about, I was telling Brother Leonardo last weekend that I was up at McDonald's and I was going through some things, but I was in my car and I was praising God. And I must have went into a praise so hard until I forgot where I was at. But I was praising God, but I could feel somebody watching me, but I was in a praise. So I didn't open my eyes. And when I did come to the point where I opened my eyes, this lady was right standing on the side of my car. And she said, what is that you got? And I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, I was driving past McDonald's. I saw you praising God. It drew me back to McDonald's. She said she turned all the way around to come back to McDonald's to speak to me. And when I rolled the window down to speak to her, I touched her. And immediately she started to cry. And she started to just tell me, you know, that she needed a breakthrough because she was saying, like, how so heavy she was about going to the church and certain things about the church. And I just had to explain to her, I'm so glad to be at Rehoboth because now I can explain to somebody when they tell me something about the church. Because other than that, I probably would have been in my flesh. But I'm so glad that I told her, nobody is in the church is perfect. And when you go there, if you think you're perfect, now the church is imperfect because of you. So I'm so glad to be at Rehoboth so I can explain to people, don't go to the church looking for a perfect church because you're gonna be lost if you are.
Amen. Go to church looking for a perfect God. That's what you got to do. Jesus said he came to call sinners. He says, while we were yet sinners, God showed his love. So there's no perfect church, but there is a perfect Savior. There is a perfect God. Amen. Don't look at people. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. I'm going to try and keep going here because I want to show you the benefits of praise in action. Because when you do that, it magnifies God. As you did, you said it attract. You're just proof that your praise attracted this lady. You were able to speak to her. When we start to magnify God, it shrinks our problems. It shrinks our. I challenge you. Just get some praise music and you start praising God and start worshiping and thanking Him. Your problems will start to shrink. They'll get smaller. When we magnify God, Psalms 118, 28, this is the result of faith through praise. It magnifies God. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. When we lift him up, hallelujah, when we focus upon him, our problems will shrink. When we magnify God, we shrink the problems. Psalms 69 verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. That's what we got to do. When we're facing tribulation, when we're facing problems, instead of getting down, instead of murmuring, instead of complaining, let's just start thanking God. I don't understand this, but listen, I love you anyhow. I know you are my Savior. I am still blessed and highly favored. I am still your child. I know you love me. This is just a fight I'm going through. And when I am finished, I'm going to come out like what? Pure gold. Pure gold. Amen. So the result of faith through praise magnifies God, Sister Browning.
There's a scripture that in 1 Peter 2 and 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is a scripture of who we're supposed to be. Not only are we supposed to be separate and different, but we are to show forth his praises through what we say, what we do, through our lifestyle. And then when you were saying about that magnifying your problem, and I've said it before, and I think Minister Chris has said this, he said, don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about your God.
Amen. 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 That's why I said that scripture. It says we're a peculiar people. Because it's peculiar to give thanks when you're going through it. But that's exactly what you got to do. Because as you saw, it's after Jonah did that, the Bible says that God spoke to the fish. You want God to speak to your fish? He said, I will give a sacrifice of thanksgiving to you, Lord. He's in the fish dying, and he says, I will give a sacrifice of thanksgiving to you with my voice. He will all open my voice. And then immediately, the next word says that God spoke to the fish. I want to use Jonah some more. I'm not done with Jonah yet. You go take him to Nineveh. Let him do his work. Amen. You know, you cannot die if you're on a mission. I've said that. I stole that from a missionary. He said, you cannot die. If you're on a mission from God, you can be swallowed by the fish. You can be almost homeless. You can be beaten up. You can be locked up in jail like Paul and Silas. You can be threatened with execution. But you cannot die if you're on a mission from God. Sister Johnny. Amen.
Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to say God is just so amazing in my life right now because even in the situations, God is showing me how amazing he is. It's so amazing when you can recognize what God is doing. And in this situation with my state person, it's just amazing at how God is showing me what he's going to do to him. You know, because of who this man is, God spoke to me and told me, stand still, because I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to him. God is going to humble him because God helped me to realize that this man, I never knew this man, but this man, the daycare that I'm in, this man was the man who was over the daycare before. This man shut the daycare down. This man shut my partner's daycare down. So God showed me, now this man is in my path. So now God is going to shut him down. Because he don't have any power or authority over me.
All right. Amen. Amen. See, as I said, the way to deal with him is to just keep magnifying God. Psalms, David knew how to magnify God and to shrink his problems. Even if it looked like Goliath, David didn't look at Goliath as a giant. He was thinking about the bear and the lion. He managed to shrink Goliath down to size. And when we magnify God, even in our worst situations, it shrinks our problems down to size. Amen. Praise establishes our faith. Did you know that? It's a rock on which we can stand. And when you start praising God, the greater we see our God, the smaller we see our problems. All right, I'm going to try and finish this. Now, the result of faith through praise, and this is what we praise God even when we don't feel like. If you keep praising God even when you don't feel like it, eventually you'll feel like it. Praise will change your attitude. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. And I put this in before, continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I put that in by mistake twice. But let's look at Matthew 15:18, the scripture I wanted, I didn't put. Those things which proceed out the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. So, if we start to, even if we don't feel like it, and we start praising God, it will actually change our heart, is what the scripture is saying. Because a good man, in Matthew 12:35, out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So I'm going to use this verse to say, even though you don't feel like praising God, your heart at the time doesn't feel like praising God, but you keep saying those words, it has the reverse effect of changing the way your heart feels, because your heart cannot continually be praising God for continually now and stay the same way. Sister Regina, if you want. You see, so even if you don't feel like it, praise will change you. Praise will change your attitude. Praise will change how you think. Sister Regina.
Praise the Lord. I just kind of commenting with what you're saying, just with praise from the outside, whether it be lifting our hands or with our voices when we don't feel like it, I think about that song, a beautiful song that says, when praises rise, they rise from the inside. Let praises rise from the inside. If we can show God with our outer action, then we can sing that song that says, let praises rise from the inside. We do the outer and he works on the inner.
Amen.
It's a beautiful song.
Amen. That's what I'm saying. Even if you don't feel like it, if you start to give praise, it will change you. It will change you. So the result of praise of praise and faith changes us. Just to hurry up, I want to just show you this other thing that Jesus did. And you'll see that Jesus himself gave us an example of something before the miracle happened. We know that when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus had been in the grave how many days? 3 days. This is an impossibility. This is not possible to come out of the grave after 3 days. John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And before he prayed, before he summoned him, this is what Jesus said. Father, I thank thee. He's thanking him before the miracle. Now, I always try and do that when I pray. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That thou already has heard me. Is that how we pray? Let's start praying that. Lord, I thank you because you have already heard me. It just has to be manifest now in the physical, right? You've heard me in the spiritual. We just have to now have it manifest visibly in the physical. And I knew that thou hearest me always. God hears you. God does hear you. But we have to have the reception to hear him. He clearly hears us. But are we in the place to receive him? Yesterday we were trying out some monitors for the ear, and I was walking across here with the thing in my ear trying to see where it picks up, and there are certain spots it picked up. If you're in the spot to receive from God, you will hear him. But if we're not listening, if we're in a spot where it's blocked, where there's things blocking the reception, even though God is speaking, even though he sent the answer, you can't receive it. Jesus was in the place of always in the flesh, being in communion with the Spirit. And he says, Father, I thank thee. That's a praise. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He hadn't yet raised Lazarus from the dead, but he says, I thank you for what you have already done. For what you have already done. If you could stand with me. We've come to the end of this month of the power in praise. But I hope that you have gained some things that will use praise as worship. Use praise as faith in action. Use praise as a weapon. And try out what the Word of God has promised us. The Bible says He's given such exceeding great and precious promises. But most of us, we do not use them. We feel as if we're powerless, like we have no weapons. You have some great weapons. You have some awesome weapons. If Jonah in the belly of the whale can say, I'm going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the belly of the whale. And immediately the Bible says God spoke to the fish. Turn around. Take him and put him out. Let him go. That's the power in praise. That's praise as a weapon. That is praise as faith in action. And we have been given some exceeding great and precious promises. And most of us, sometimes when we're in our tribulation, we forget the promises of God and what He has said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What we have to do is use what we have. Moses said, Lord, what shall I do? Pharaoh is threatening me. He says, what do you have in your hand? You have a rod of praise. You have a rod of victory. You have a rod of declaration. You have a rod of worship. Stretch forth your hand. Use what God has given you. Use the weapons. The Bible says the word is nigh thee. It's right on your lips. The Bible says you shall eat the fruit of your lips. You have to start declaring praise, not just declaring victory, but start declaring praise. Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. God has heard us. We just need to be in the place to receive the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that you have been blessed this month by our theme on praise. Let's put it into action, church. Let's challenge the devil. Even if he has you in the belly of the fish, let God speak to your fish. Let him take it and take you to finish the work that God has called you. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for speaking to our hearts, for filling this place today with